A Runner's Life is coming straight to you from Bermuda.
All right, we're going to take a hard pause and jump into the future. I want to give you a little recap of what's going to happen in this episode. It was an amazing experience in Bermuda. I got to speak with some amazing people, so you heard some of the conversations in the intro, and I'm going to share some of the conversations I had with people on taxis, people on boats, and as PK Black Jesus now reminds me, because I'm now on a boat, he's going to now call me 007. You know, there's worse nicknames you can have, so I'm happy to take that one, in fairness. Also on this episode, you get to hear the wisdom of Dina Casta, who spoke to us pre-race. I also speak to the men's marathon winner and record holder, Des Belensky, who also ran the Boston Marathon. And he's got actually a picture with him quite close to Kipchoge in the 2023 Boston Marathon, even though it's probably the race that Kipchoge probably doesn't want to talk about. But anyhow. Okay, if you're looking to run 2025, you can, and you can get a 10% discount on your entry by using the code, this is all one word, 2025 Marcus 10 off. I'll put it in the show links. Again, it's 2025 Marcus 10 off. And to get your place, go to the website www.bermudatrianglechallenge.com/registration. I wanted to bring you some traditional Bermudan music, but there wasn't anything to play. So at the hotel, they were playing lots of covers, and this is the best I could do. Bermuda isn't in the Caribbean, and it isn't Jamaican, but you're going to have to listen to some Shaggy. It wasn't me. So enjoy it, people, and then we're going to head straight back into the episode.
I've been white from it's serious. When it comes to food, we have a traditional breakfast.
Okay.
And it's served every Sunday morning. And it's codfish and potato.
Okay.
With a ripe banana, avocado pear, fried onions, some Johnny bread, a boiled egg. You can come with two tomato sauce or a bottle sauce.
Okay.
One of our traditional fish is called a rockfish.
Okay.
Rockfish is pretty much the same as seagull, sandfish.
Yeah.
Rockfish. I mean, so you go to take on rockfish, you got snappers,
So I'm actually here for the Bermuda Triangle Challenge, which comprises of three races over the weekend. So you've got the mile, 10K, and then Sunday you've got the option of doing a half marathon or the marathon. If you do all three, you get a special commemorative medal, but obviously you could just come down and do singular races. The competition looks pretty stacked for some of the smaller races. Yeah, if you look back at some of the previous records from like Greta Waltz and the 10K, those records still stand. So we've had some amazing athletes, past and present, running. But I'm out here just to enjoy it. I'm coming back from an injury from the Berlin Marathon. So the last few months have just been really light running. And also the weather is warmer. Boston is my main focus. And this will be some really good training because it's really quite undulating in Bermuda and the weather is warmer. So I've got both of those factors to help push my training along. But they've also got some rum stops. So I think it'd be criminal not to try some rum. I think there's two stops for the half and I've got two for the marathon. It's crazy. I'm out here, I've got blue skies, sunny weather. It's hard to communicate through a podcast, but it's absolutely beautiful. Coming from London, it's just amazing. So I've also picked up my race number, which is 1813. PK knows this, also known as Black Jesus. Philip King, if you check him out on Instagram, I've had him on the podcast before. We always go to Expos and J's. So for me, I went for the Air Jordan 3s, white cements. There's a couple options I was looking at going for. I was looking at the Balvins, but unfortunately, I think the Balvins, they look great on hands, but on foot, you've got to have the right outfit to go with them. Otherwise, they're just a bit too leery. I was looking at the AJ3 Fears, again black, but I think when you're out somewhere like this, you know, beautiful weather, I went for the classic white cements. You can wear them with jeans, you can wear them with shorts. I mean, they look good in most outfits. So for me, that was my go-to Jordan choice because there's only one hitter. I didn't have enough space to bring all the selection out here. I was actually looking at some other ones, but yeah, I went for the AJ3s and that was the winner for me. Life is wild like this. So I met this guy, Howard Randmead. I asked him to take a photo with me, as you do, because I've got no one else to take a photo of me, first world problems, in the expo with me and my bib. And then I started walking towards the back of the hotel where there's a marina and boats, and he happened to be there with his wife and his wife's nephew. And it's like, oh, we're going to go out on the boat, do you want to jump on? And I was like, cool, yeah, try it out. And it was really kind. And yeah, I'll sort of share some of the conversations that we had whilst we went on the boat. We did a little tour around the island. It's amazing to see it by sea. The water is beautiful. Some of the summer houses are incredible. But yeah, what a beautiful place. I'd love to come back and have the opportunity to come with other people and stay, because it's just an amazing place. But the hotel I'm staying at is the Hamilton Princess. Again, it's an absolutely stunning place, right on the water's edge. And yeah, it's just incredible. Hard to describe from an audio sort of side, but it reminds me of the Azores. It's in the Atlantic Ocean. It's like two stopping points between either America or Europe, basically, and everything's imported, so everything is generally expensive, so just be prepared for that. But to be honest, what I'm really looking forward to is just trying some of the local, you know, the local stuff, the local rum, local food. I'm going to try and find something for lunch now. I'm absolutely starving. I've got the mile race. It's 7 p.m. tonight. From what I've seen, there's quite a few competitive American runners come over, and quite a few people are travelling over. So I think the mile race is going to be really competitive with some elite runners. And then tomorrow is the 10K race. It's about 9 in the morning. They said it was downhill for the first half and then uphill for the rest, so it seems quite undulating. And then we've got the half marathon on Sunday with two rum stops, so I'm going to try and check that out. In terms of like races and like how I'm going to go for it, I've only recently come back from injury, so I'm not sure how it's going to go. I'm just going to try and have fun with it and see what happens.
I would believe Nasida Island right there.
Okay.
Right there. They used to be our first airport because seaplanes used to bring us years and years ago.
Yeah.
So we had a sea airport, by the seaplanes, the Clipper, and stuff. Before the U.S. put it in the military base.
Yeah.
The airport that you see, that's where the United States military did.
Okay.
Between what? You're talking about the 30s, 38, 39, then World War II going on the land.
Yeah.
They did the land swap with America.
Yeah.
They got all that property, they got a lot of property, and they built the airport.
Okay.
So. They did do a lot. They came, built bridges that were accessible to the islands. They did a lot in the island. Infrastructure.
These little houses look quite pretty quaint, don't they, to an
S? Yeah, these are people's summer houses.
Okay.
Summertime, you see people here that come. Now, we call this Paradise Sinks because most of the time a lot of people come out here cruising and anchor off in the summertime.
Yeah. What's the best thing about like living here that you find?
Best thing? For me right now would be going out to Playbook. Let's go. There is a lot of activities, there's sports, every sport you can probably think of. There's hockey, not ice hockey.
Yeah.
Ground hockey. There's football, rugby, cycling, running. Yeah, I love my head and the people. People you know. It's really clicking with people.
Yeah.
That makes you the best part.
Yeah.
Because no matter what, there's going to be always politics. There's going to be somebody you're not going to be happy with, frustrated with.
Yeah.
But it's always.
Because it's really the people on this island that make it so special. Sure, there's places in the world that have amazing views and sunshine, all the things we value and love, but it's the people of Bermuda that have made all of us feel so welcome here from around the world, around the globe that travel here. So it is our first time here, but it will not be our last time here. And you have your charm bracelet to add to every time you come back, right? So exciting. So as I'm standing here and thinking about what I'm going to say, one of the things that comes to mind, because we are sitting here having pasta, is in 2000, how many were here last year when Mev Kepleski was here? Mev is a dear friend of mine, a teammate. We used to train together year after year. We made our first Olympic team in 2000 together. 4 years later, we both medaled in the same Olympics. So we've been arm in arm for many years. So it's very fitting that I come here the year after him, because his medal is one up from mine. He earned silver and I was bronze. But we were making our first Olympic team together, and the Olympic trials were in Sacramento, California, on the track. And we had a lot of friends our age that were trying to make their first Olympic teams. And at that time, we're in an Olympic year also, which is really exciting. At that time, you could get in the top three in your race, which didn't necessarily mean you made the team. You also had to run a certain time standard. But you could get in the top three and then go over to Europe and chase the time standard within a window. And so we had a friend, Jason, who had made the team in the 1500 by placing in the top three, but he needed to run fast enough. So our first race overseas was a 1500 meter run that he was doing in Hanglo. And so we're hyping him up before the race, getting him all fired up and excited. And he goes and he's running the race, and it's about four laps around the track, and he's coming into the finishing stretch, and my husband, my boyfriend at the time, which is now your dad, was looking at his watch, and he's like, oh, he's so close. And he crosses the finish line, and Andrew was like, I don't know if he did it or not. Like, it was that close. And we're waiting. We're all staring at the scoreboard to see his time go up. He missed the qualifying time by 1/100th of a second. And he's sprawled out on the track. He gave it everything he's got. And this is actually a happy story. But the funny thing is that the words that came out of his mouth when he looked up at those numbers and saw that he fell short was, I left one noodle on my plate last night. That was the energy I needed to get to that finish line fast. So clean your plates, everybody. Clean your plates. The next week, or about 5 days later, he actually did get under the standard, so he made that Olympic team. So that's the shining. He ate the noodles on his plate and ended up making the Olympic team. So good job, Jason, for making his Olympic team in Sydney, Australia that year. So as I know over the years, the different races that I've run, whether it's 1,500 meters, 5,000, 10,000, a mile with my daughter last night, which was such a joy for me, thank you. Even though she out-sprinted me in the end, it's because she ate all your milkshake, right? You finished your milkshake right before the race, and that was the energy you needed. But it's such an exhilarating moment to feel that buzz of running and racing. But for some reason, every single night at that Last Supper, the Last Supper that you're eating before that competition, is when the doubt seems to creep in. And I never understood that you just like fill your cup with all this cheering and cheerleading and positive reinforcement, and you're making it through all the workouts and you're checking off all the boxes. And the doubt creeps in at the very last minute. Like, why, oh, why do you show up now? And sometimes it's like, oh, I should have run one more long run, or I should have trained a little bit longer, an extra week or two. Maybe I should push the race out. And something tells us we're not quite ready. The taper, because some people don't taper as well as others. As I look at Anna Laura, who explored Crystal Cave with me today, and I'm like, she should be over me. But she's superhuman, so she could do that anyway. But they're like that, you don't feel great during the taper, and you start to worry, like this calf is feeling a little tight all of a sudden, or you feel like you've maybe like lost fitness all of a sudden because you've taken it easy the last few days. And when that doubt starts to creep in, the only answer is making sure it shuts up, right? Just like quiet it. And the way that you can quiet it is by instead thinking of three reasons you should succeed and committing those reasons to memory. Because if you look at the science of positive psychology and how we can switch off some hormones and flood our body with the good hormones that will superpower us to the finish line, is that it takes three positive thoughts to counter a single negative thought. So if you have this little bit of doubt and negativity buzzing through your mind, turn that off and commit to memory those three reasons that you should succeed. Because contrary to what a lot of us women like to think, our minds cannot multitask. I actually read that in a science journal and I threw my head back and laughed, thinking that I was some exception to a scientific rule. But the next sentence addressed me entirely and said, you might think you're good at multitasking, but what you're actually good at is like jumping spastically from one idea or program to the next and not giving one your undivided attention. And so guilty as charged. So if we can't multitask, why don't we put the thoughts in our head that are going to serve us well, are going to serve the moment, and disregard the ones that are trying to bring us down and fill us with that doubt? So I did that time and time again, is just having those three reasons in my back pocket, on demand, ready for race day, so that I can get to bed, go to sleep with a little bit of a peace of mind, and wake up and get the job done. Put in the one foot in front of the other that made the difference over all that training that I put in. And then race day, when I woke up and a little jittery, I need to get in those calories anyway, because those calories are so important no matter the distance, no matter the pace. And during the race itself, there's always a moment where you're thinking, oh my gosh, like, I can't believe it's going to get twice as hard as this at the halfway point. Or maybe it feels that way at mile three. If mile three feels the same way you thought mile 20 was going to feel. And so you start to play all these head games with yourself. Guess what? Your body is ready for anything you put the task to, and it's our mind that leads on whether or not that can come to fruition. So making this space right here the best version of yourself is the only way you're going to get the best out of yourself physically there. And the best might just be joyfully running across the island and taking in the views, because some of us run for the views. I know the only reason I climb a hill is so that I can see the view on the top of it. And so making sure each time that doubt creeps in, or that you start to focus on the fatigue more than the exhilaration, or whatever else might interrupt you getting to that finish line, the best version of yourself, making sure you're switching those thoughts to serve you in that moment. And making sure that time and time again that you are creating the habit of headspace that makes this the best place in the world to live. And we're with ourselves all the time, so we might as well be the advocates for ourselves, the cheerleaders that we're looking for. And we have the ability, it can start right here and right now. You don't need the practice, but your practice can start here and today, because it is a fun space to play in, to make sure that you're opening yourself up to the best you can be in that moment. And if you can add those moments together, it's the best you can be in that day. And if you add those days together within the week, it's the best you can be in that entire week. And we might fall and create little micro decisions that make us slip back a little bit more, but get right back on that course and make those decisions to keep moving forward. And before you know it, it's been your best year and the best decade, the best half century that you can be. And so it's all within us to be that person. And no matter your goal tomorrow, you can pursue that goal, the best version of yourself. If you can hear, I've been talking a lot this week. I feel like as the days go on, I sound more and more like a man. Like I'm getting a little deeper. But so some of you might have heard different versions of this story as I was talking to sponsors throughout the week, the great sponsors that make this race so desirable for those of us to travel to and represent the island so well. There's different versions of how you can express yourself in the best light possible. You could use gratitude. I talked about gratitude in the last couple of days and how gratitude really releases the right hormones in our body. I feel like my daughter's mouthing over here and knows all the words I'm about to say, because I'm going to talk about the hormones. If you are stressed out and uptight, your body's going to release cortisol, a stress hormone. if you're worried about wind or weather and you start to fret, your body's going to create this cortisol, which makes you tight, rigid, and injury prone. But instead, if you could shut off that cortisol and start thinking about things you're grateful for, regardless of the position that you're in, that your body will shut off that cortisol and start producing hormones that work in your favor, like oxytocin, serotonin, and what's the other one? Dopamine, right? I had the great pleasure and privilege of giving a TEDx talk in the month of October last year. And I was talking to the audience, and my poor daughter had been tortured for 2 months, and it finally dawned on me as I made eye contact with her and my husband in the audience. And as I was talking, she was mouthing all the words of my speech, because you have to have the speeches memorized. And so I realized in that moment, like, as I'm trying to get my speech out of my mouth, that she had known all of it, because that's all I talked about for 2 months. I would be cooking dinner and reciting my speech, and in the shower reciting my speech, and doing laundry and reciting my speech. So Piper knew those three feel-good hormones off the top of her tongue as well. But also, one of the easiest tricks that I have is smiling. Because if you smile, I smile all the time in races, although some people think it's a grimace. It sometimes looks like a grimace. But if you smile, even if you're feeling pain and torture and fatigue during a race, if you smile, your body is going to think you're happy, just the act of using those muscles, and it'll start to release the hormones that make you feel happy. So there's like all these brilliant tools you could start to use in your running and daily life. Like when your kids are screaming that song that you and your and Lily and True were singing on our way down to the pool a couple months ago, off the top of a chandelier, the chandelier song. Do you know what I'm talking about? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? So, like, trying to hit the notes that are really hard to hit, but they were trying anyway. If you smile in situations like that, your blood pressure will actually go down. I felt that. I feel it in real time. So all these tactics that work in running also work in real life. So practice tomorrow, practice smiling, practice thinking of three things that you're grateful for, and practice whatever it is gonna do to get you that next mile under your belt, or that next light post, or that next rock fence, or that next hill. How many people ran the 10K this morning? Yeah, there's some hills in that 10K, right? Good job for conquering those hills, everybody. So really, just make tomorrow the best version, the best expression of what you've worked up to this point. When I was in the height of my career, I always had like a song lyric in my head or a mantra to work with, something that was easy as smiling to get the best out of myself in a moment. Because there are times when we get to that critical point in a race where we could either throw in the towel or continue and drop that hammer and keep pursuing our goals. And that is a critical moment. I used to dread it, because you think it's going to happen at mile 20 and it might happen 10 miles before that. And so in that moment that I used to dread, I now smile in it, because I know that that's a critical moment that I can either rise to the occasion to really meet my truest self, or I can backpedal on all the goals that I have worked so hard for in the months and years prior. So the expression of yourself in that moment should be the best that you can be. And I put the pressure on myself by having the mantra, define yourself. Because it doesn't matter if you run 3:30 in the marathon or 4:30 in the marathon, and you might think it matters a whole awful lot because this is the pace that you've been working for, but it's not really solving any world problems. It's not feeding the hungry. It's not making peace in a time of war. It doesn't really matter. But your character, your habit of character, matters a lot. So make that moment about who you are and who you want to be. Dig down, fight hard, be your best self out there. Define yourself in every big, bold, beautiful way possible, and it is going to be a great experience tomorrow, whether you run a personal best or fall very short of it. So I look forward to being out there and cheering for each and every one of you after I eat a big buffet breakfast and have the energy to stand out there and cheer everyone in, maybe some hot tea to soothe my throat. But Piper and I will be out there cheering you on every step of the way and look forward to having that big, beautiful medal. How many people are just so impressed with this medal and it's like the most beautiful that they have ever seen? Yes. Domingo here. Is he in the house, our local artist runner that designed the medals that all stack on top of each other to make this one big, very heavy, it's going to make you have to pay extra for your baggage on the way home medal. It is so big, and it's going to be a representation of you and the character that you carried, that carried you through the finish line. So good luck, everybody. Finish up your plates, and I really look forward to sharing that experience with you tomorrow. Good luck.
Just completed the first race of the series, which was a mile race. I didn't go into it with high hopes, nowhere near my mile PB shape, but I wanted to get a sub 6, which I achieved. I need to get the official time, it's probably about 5:40-ish. But yeah, I feel really good. I started quite conservatively and then just tried to pick up and have a strong finish, which I did, and I'm really happy with that. It's really well supported by the locals. The streets are lined. It's 7 p.m. in the evening and it's buzzing. It's still really nice and warm. It's about 90 degrees Celsius. And yeah, the atmosphere is incredible. We've got a couple of waves. We've got not just like speedy runners. We've got kids running. We've got young old. We've got so many different people here. The atmosphere is incredible. And different types of people running are just really, it's amazing. So it reminds me of watching the London Marathon for this. And it's just so inspiring to see. So I'm really happy I gave it a good, honest effort. Tomorrow is the 10K, and then Sunday is the half marathon. So it's always weird, like, going into the mile. Like, I get so nervous before it, just because you know how much it's going to hurt. And I think, just based on where I was, I think I just took it, like I said, quite easy in the start, and then tried to finish strong. So overall, I'm happy with the effort. It's a good, honest effort, and yeah. Tomorrow's a new day, and yeah, looking forward to the 10K tomorrow morning at 9:30 a.m. And it's pretty much the same for the half marathon. So for the half marathon, we've got the rum stop, so that's going to be really interesting to see how that goes down. Two rum stops, got a stop for that, and yeah, soak up the vibes. Mile done, signing out for tomorrow. I've got to talk a little bit about the route. So you start off, you go probably just under a minute, and then you hit this sharp 180 degree turn, which I wasn't a fan of because of my right leg, that's where I had the injury, so I had to be really careful and tentative there. Then you head towards the end of the course where you take another sharp right. So there are two sharp rights, so that kind of put me off slightly with the course. I think it could be in an ideal world, I'd rather have it nice sweeping points, but I guess it's easier for them to make it a point to point so people can come back and it's easier to organise. But in terms of racing, I'm just not really a fan of the big sharp turns, but you get through it as best you can. I think without those sharp turns, it definitely would have been a faster course, but such is life anyhow. So, but like I said, the atmosphere was incredible. It's an incredible atmosphere from the supporters, from local supporters, and just the people coming out watching and cheering. So that really made it something. Just finished the race and I just caught up with Dennis. It was quite a hilly course, a hilly and windy course. Can you talk about the race today?
Sure. The objective going in was to sort of try to be competitive if possible, but then if it's too much, then just hold back and think about tomorrow, because I'm doing the full challenge, the mile, the 10K and the full marathon. Wow. So starting off felt nice, but then the conditions are, it's not too hot, but the course is tough and there was a little bit of a headwind going out. So I found it rather challenging, competitive. There was a very good runs, international and local, which is a good thing. And overall, it was a good race. I think I performed right around what I was looking for. So overall, I'm pleased.
So we're just maneuvering around some of the physio tables. So Now, I think it was a really good race today. I really enjoyed it. Like, I just found it pretty undulating, but very windy at the same time. What a race, though. Like, the people, the atmosphere was incredible.
Yeah. Bermuda is, for one thing, is known for its cheerful air, positive energy that the crowd brings, and that's why I keep coming back. Bermuda is very cheerful. People are energetic. They come out for their races and they cheer everybody, and they did it today.
Absolutely. I remember this one particular lady. I was running with two women runners, and they're like, "Keep going, ladies and gentlemen." So, I thought that was amazing.
That's the thing, man. They know most of the people by name.
Yeah.
They will call you out. If not, they just go by your big number.
Yeah.
And they did that today. And it's everybody who sort of thinks about running out there. You can always try to come to them and you can have them.
And we've got to talk about the photo. So there's a picture of you and Eliud Kipchoge at the Boston Marathon. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. That was the Boston Marathon. I always looked up to Peter Peters, and I cannot believe I was standing the same starting with Margaret Van, Marathon Gold, and Colorado, and a few other very good guys. So to me, that was like being on the start line of the Olympics. And of course, I'm not at that level, but it was nice to be with him at that point. And I had a great time with him.
Did you speak to him at all?
Yeah, we were together from the hotel in town. We actually used the same bus through to the start and in the tents right around the start area. I warmed up with him for a couple strides. He is very zoomed in. He doesn't talk much during refreshments.
Yeah.
And typically what the race organizers do is they do.
One thing I really want to know is that for the marathon tomorrow, are you going to stop at the rum stops?
No. I don't. The course record is 2:28 and a bit. I've run 2:26 now. So I ran last year and won this particular full marathon, 2:29. But back then it was a little longer. So I think truly I ran 2:27.
Yep.
So I'm capable of breaking the course record. I probably will be trying for that tomorrow. But with a mile and 10K in the legs already, I would like to see how I feel.
How are you going to approach the race? Obviously, because it's like quite uncommon to go into a marathon doing two hard efforts before.
Yeah, I've not done this before.
Yeah.
So my expectation is for the marathons I've done so far, and it's a few of them, because maybe 15 or so. I've always gone a little faster in the first time. I think for the first time, I'll probably hold back and try to just see how I feel. Go into it slowly. And slowly here, we're talking about maybe 1:16, 1:15 halfway.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then see how I can progress.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be having a busy time out there, so I will still be pushing for it, thinking about 2:28.
Okay.
And so you cannot slow down too much. So you have to bring the 2 hours to within maybe a minute. Best case scenario, 1:14 and 1:14.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense, man. If you like, Dennis, thank you for chatting with me and on the Runner's Life podcast.
Sure, thank you for catching up with me many times and see you soon.
Cheers. Just finished the Bermuda 10K. What a race. If I can describe it, it's like a Boston marathon progressing to a 10K. Rolling hills. The weather was pretty cool, but it's very windy, so because you're in the front of the waves, you're just running by yourself most of the time and you're pretty exposed. So I found it pretty tough in those areas, but it's good training for Boston, considering like I sort of had like zero workouts. It was a really good effort. I was targeting to run a marathon pace effort, which I achieved just about 6:30. So happy with that effort. But yeah, it was a really tough race for those rollers, the winds, but like the support from the people was incredible. What a beautiful place to run. I remember like running past certain aspects and sort of looking at the coastline thinking, what a beautiful place to run in. So really happy to get the second one done. Obviously, two hard efforts in 2 days, sub 6, 40 minutes. So happy with those efforts. And tomorrow, I guess, will be, let's see how that goes, really. It's going to be a tough run, but I really enjoyed today, and the vibes are good, so roll on for tomorrow.
Okay, so this is the day after the half marathon. I was meant to record straight after the race, but so much was happening in terms of chatting to people and just enjoying the atmosphere. Plus, the weather wasn't that great, so it was rainy, and I just really wanted to get out of my clothes and change and get something to eat. But let's give a breakdown of the race and a breakdown of the weekend. So went into the half marathon, again, knowing that obviously it's really judged by gun time, even though they've got chip time, so I really want to get as close to the start as I could. And went out with the lead group. First few miles obviously feel great because, you know, the first miles always lie. I think by mile 4 or 5, I'm starting to feel it in my legs from the previous workouts. I think one of the interesting things when you're running towards the front is that you're pretty much running alone most of the time, and the course was undulating and windy, so you haven't got a lot of protection, and it's really eerie in a weird way because you just hear everything. Whereas when you're running in a big race with lots of people around you, you've just got so much commotion around you. You've got all the other runners. It's not a distraction. It's actually quite a nice thing, and you've got all the crowd as well. Here, the support was amazing. I mean, like, people came at the houses and you could really interact with people and you could hear what they were saying. But yeah, I think for me, the first half of the race felt good. I started feeling, like I said, a little bit fatigued in my legs naturally because I've just done two honest efforts the day before, the mile and the 10K on a hilly course. But yeah, so up to 6 miles, it's feeling good. I was just ahead of the lead woman, and she in second place. I think that, well, she was first at the time, Chrissy. It's funny because every time I was running, I could hear, "Go Chrissy, go Chrissy," and I'm like, that's all I could hear behind me for like 7-8 miles. And then so you've got like the lead bike ahead of where we were. I think she passed me around mile 8 or 9. Her and the second place woman at the time, but the second place woman, Gail, actually went on to win, so it was really close between them. I think they finished just over a minute and a bit ahead of me. It's a type of course where you really have to forget about the time when you're watching, just go by effort, because it's such a changing course. It was so windy towards the end, and the rain picked up, and it was just really hard. And I really had to sort of cycle through my mantras, like, you're feeling tired, but I had to keep telling myself, like, I'm strong, I'm well-abled, kind of accepting where you are and just digging in. So that was definitely challenging. There's a guy, I think, close to me, a guy called Alan, and he was kind of in and around me. He passed me, and then I passed him, I think, with a mile 10 or 11, maybe, around that sort of time, and just kind of got to the finish before him. But it's really weird in these little races that you have to like create mini races, because you just need something else to focus on, because there really isn't anyone around you, to be honest. I know it sounds like a first world problem being at towards the front of the group, and it's something like, yeah, it's just such an interesting place to be at, and I don't take it for granted. It's like, considering like where I started from in my running, and I found the last half of the race tough, I'm not gonna lie. I think just going into it, I had like, and I sound like a broken record saying this, I had minimal training in terms of just aerobic miles and workouts. So that was tough. And I think in my head, you're kicking yourself a little bit because you know you're a lot slower than you were when you're fitter. So I think that was like something I had to like work through and try to let go of. And I think definitely what helped me was just not looking at my watch. Like I said, I think because of the nature of the course is rolling, like, each mile is not going to be the same. So just get in your head, if you're running faster or slower, you just have to run by effort. And that's basically all I try to do for the race itself in its entirety. Again, like, running by some of the coastal areas was just incredible. Seeing some of the people was amazing. I'm really happy with just how it went. I really enjoyed it, actually, even though it's a tough race. I really enjoyed it because sometimes you just need like an honest effort. Sometimes training does it, but doesn't really do the same thing. When you're in a race, it's different. You kind of,
you're in it, so you commit to it. So sometimes you can't really replicate it in a training run. I mean, if you've got good training partners and stuff like that, that definitely does help, but it's not the same feeling, you know. You don't feel that same anticipation, that same level of anxiety pre-race. And that's what's the great thing about racing. I don't think it's race all the time, but I can understand why. You look at some of the old school runners, why they integrated races within their week as opposed to just doing a training run. It does add a certain extra something that you don't usually get from training. So yeah, the second half of the race was like, it was just about digging in. The wind picked up, the rain picked up, and it was just grim. And I just remember just kind of shutting out. I could hear the crowds, but I was just in my own like mind. I think you can really appreciate it a bit more in the early miles, but when you're just trying to dig in, it's a little bit tougher. My aim was to get under sub 90 minutes, which I achieved. Yeah, so in terms of results, I finished in 1:28. I finished 16th overall out of 452 runners, fourth male in my age group, 14th male overall. So yeah, that was really positive for the whole race series. So the final result standings for the half marathon Bermuda Triangle Challenge were as follows. So overall, I finished 8th overall. So in terms of the male finishes, I finished in the top 7. I got an age group win coming in 3rd place. So that was a real positive. It's a weird one. It's going to sound like a first world problem. I'm happy to have got that. But in my head, I know that I'm not as fit as I have been in the past. So it's a strange one. I've got to give myself a bit of grace because, like I said, I've had minimal workouts getting into this. So I wasn't anywhere near where I know I can be. To be honest, like, doing this series has been really beneficial for my Boston training. Even if you're not Boston training, like, it's an amazing to come out to somewhere different. Because I think sometimes, even me included, it's so easy to get stuck in doing the majors or just doing the same races over and over and over again. Where we forget actually running, it's about traveling and meeting new people and having new experiences. And, you know, I've never been to Bermuda. It's an incredible place. I would love to come back again, spend a bit more time, a bit longer, explore the island a bit more. But yeah, the running community is strong. Like, the community is really welcoming and I really enjoy my time out here. So I'd highly recommend it. I'd love to come back. I know they've got a race in May, another half marathon again, but that's going to be, in terms of weather, that's going to be pretty tough. It's going to be hotter. It's going to be more humid. I mean, yesterday's run was humid, hilly and rainy. It was just crazy. I mean, you chuck like water in your ear, just kind of didn't really like feel like you're cooling off. You just felt like you were just in this holding pattern. Anyhow, I'm digressing. I'm going flip-flopping between the race and all the other stuff. Like, I really enjoyed my time out here. I thank you to the organisers.
I'm not going to mention everyone, but a particular big thank you to Anna, Laura, Mark, Ali, and everyone else that helped out when I was out there.
I've really enjoyed actually my time at the Hamilton Princess Hotel, and I'm going to share some of the artworks actually on my Instagram page. But the owners of the hotel, I've got like a crazy art collection. Crazy. There's millions of pounds, millions of dollars worth of artworks just in this property. You've got Warhols, you've got Banksy, you've got Damon Hirst. There's like some incredible bits. I'm actually going to do an art tour and try and share some of the photos actually on my Instagram page. So I'd check that out as well. Yeah, and thank you to the race organisers for putting on such a great event. I've really enjoyed it. And yeah, I'd highly recommend other people to come out, explore something different. Actually, I didn't actually talk about some other bits. I mean, post-race, I did actually get to enjoy there's two drinks. There's a Dark Stormy, which is basically like ginger beer and rum. And the second like popular drink of choice out here is the rum swizzle. I've not had a chance to try that out yet, but it's Monday as of the time I'm recording this, and I'm going to hit a flight pretty soon, so I probably don't want to be hitting the alcohol and getting a bit too wavy before I get there. Got a flight to catch and all that good stuff, but you definitely try that out. I really enjoyed actually the fish sandwich. It's like a fried fish sandwich, coleslaw, it's raisin bread. It's really tasty. I shared some photos on my Instagram page. It looks as good as it tastes. That's all I can say. I mean, I had another one yesterday. Unfortunately, I didn't get to try the traditional like Sunday breakfast. Unfortunately, first of all, problems, it coincided with the half marathon. And it's kind of like you've got potatoes and fish and some other bits, avocados and stuff. But it looks really nice. I hope to try that the next time I'm here. But that's tradition, you have that on a Sunday as opposed to any other days. And some other bits within that breakfast I've missed out. Yeah, it's an incredible place. Incredible people, really enjoyed it. And yeah, hope to be back soon.
shout out to Domenico for creating an amazing race medals. Like, you probably see it's like four of them and it's got all these magnets, and it's like it creates a little bit of depth really to this, create this like picturesque view. Okay, that's me signing out. Next stop, back in UK training for Watford Half.